Maraming salamat sa inyong pag-download mula sa SBS Radio. Para sa mga detalye kung paano mapapakinggan ng buo ang programa, magtungo sa sbs.com.au/Filipino. We have the pleasure to speak today with the actor playing as Rodolfo in the play La Boheme, Arthur Espiritu. Good morning, Arthur, and welcome to Sydney.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Like you said, I'm playing Rodolfo in the opera La Boheme. It's great. Mm. It's great to be here.
It's actually your first time in Australia?
Yes, my very first time, and I'm very, very excited to debut in this role and in this opera house. It's amazing. It's great. It's still surreal for me. It's great.
Though it's your first time in Australia and performing at the Sydney Opera House, performing and singing is definitely not new to you. Tell us about some of your best performances around the world.
Oh, best, wow. I wouldn't say best, but I guess I would maybe categorically say the most memorable performances I had was when I did the Duke in Rigoletto. And also there was this memorable performance we had in Basel where we did Così fan tutte. It's a very interesting show. It was directed by Calixto Bieto. It's a extraordinary character, you know. But we did a lot of things with the staging that is quite different from normal, what you would normally see in an opera where it's all updated and, you know, people are not wearing as many clothes as they would wear. But yeah, but some of the memorable performances I had was in Milano in La Scala. Also, when I first did the performance with Laura Clacom, a very famous soprano, and Vivica Junot, another mezzo-soprano, in I Capuleti e Montecchi in America, in Pittsburgh. Oh. Yeah, so basically those are the things that I remember that are memorable.
Is there a lot you have done already?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I wouldn't say a lot, but I'm still sort of, you know, doing it, you know, wherever the contract, you know, if it's a good contract, great, I'll take it. But yeah, just the dream is just to sing for as many opera houses as I could do. And that's part of my dream. And, you know, what better dream than to, you know, check this off the bucket list, this being able to perform at this amazing opera house and, you know, very famous. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. You were actually born in the Philippines, but you left the country when you were in high school, am I right?
Yes.
Yes, and your singing has brought you to Europe, Asia, America, now in Australia. But how did you really start in singing?
We can start from when high school. I mean, you know, like you said, we immigrated from Philippines. I think it was back in 1991. And that was, I didn't have any interest at all in singing. Singing classical, what is that? That's not really cool. You know, it doesn't even involve like dancing and singing. And, you know, I was a fan of like artists like Gary Vee and, you know, those Filipino artists.
Yeah,
pop, I used to really like pop music. But then when I got into it in high school, there was this professor in high school that took interest in me. And because, you know, it's like, okay, wala lang, you know, I'm just going to join the chorus, you know, because I like to sing.
For the sake of joining.
Yeah, just, you know, just to have fun, you know, just for, you know, like a extracurricular activity. I signed up for choir, and then the choir members heard me sing, and they said, oh, you got a really beautiful voice. And then the director took notice of me, and I said, yeah, I'm going to enroll you to the Gifted and Talented program in high school we got. This was in New Orleans, Louisiana, where I used to live. And then, yeah, you know, so he taught me a few classical songs like Ave Maria.
And you love it?
Oh, I slowly fell in love with it because, you know, he was like, okay, I didn't know how to read music back then. I didn't know, you know, I just learned by rote, just, you know, learned by ear. So he pretty much taught me each and every note.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a tape. When those cassette tapes are still...
Yeah.
Are still...
Old school.
So he gave me a few cassette tapes. And this is Ave Maria. And this is Vergine Tutta Amor. And this is another Italian song. I was like, so learn it by the end of the semester. And, you know, sing it for me. And then it will enter you to a competition. And that's how it got started, you know.
You actually studied music aside from that?
No. No, during high school I didn't study music, but after that I joined the competition and I won the first prize, And then one of the judges was a professor in college.
In the university.
In the university. Yeah. And she recruited me. And since then, she's been my teacher. Oh, 20-plus years. And she's still my teacher, you know. So she was pretty much my musical mother, basically. And she's the one who got me into this mess.
So can we say that you're moving to the U.S. and entering a career in the music wasn't really hard for you then?
Well, of course, there's a cultural shock. You know, you have to learn the language and you have to learn how to, you know, speak American. You know, for a while I had a Filipino accent, you know. But, I had to, you know, basically immerse myself into the culture and try as much as we can to appreciate the type of culture they have there. And you know, if it wasn't for my schooling there, I would not have actually had any interest in music because, you know, in the Philippines, it's not really... You know, it is advice to do the classical music, but I wasn't, you know, I grew up in Tanay Rizal, which is like a, you know, a provinciano, we call it. I'm a provinciano. I'd never really go to Manila. So I had no access to classical music. I had no access to all of that stuff that they do in Manila. Yeah. So, yeah, so I came straight from the province area in the Philippines to New Orleans. And then that's when I started experiencing culture, things like this, you know.
Looking back, before being described by the audience and reviews as singing superbly with beautiful legato, a regal tenor, aside from you moving to the U.S. and eventually you learn music there, was someone from the family into singing?
Well, actually, I just found out about 2-3 years ago that I have an uncle by the name of Noel Espiritu Velasco. And, you know, he has had a pretty major career in classical music and he's an opera singer. So I guess it kind of runs in a family. And you know, I figured out in a family tree. All my brothers and sisters, I'm one of seven. So all of them, you know, play guitar and sing. And they never really took music seriously. Yeah, because, you know, there's no money in it. Yeah. You know, my mom and dad always told me, you should be like, you know, a doctor or an engineer or a nurse or a dentist or something like this, but not in music. So I had to quarrel with them all the time. It's like, Mom, it's okay. This is what I love to do. And it's like, but when are you going to earn real money? Like, well, you know, when the time comes and things like this. But, you know, you had to work hard and prove them wrong and all that stuff. So that's how I kind of got the tenacity into working hard, into being as good as everybody else in the business. Yeah. Because you have to have the competitive spirit in you, because if you don't have that, you won't be able to get hired by companies and things like that. So you have to really strive for good content in your artistry.
To get into big productions.
Yes, exactly. Because if you just stick by, you know, what you do best and things like this and not push yourself to the level of, you know, what's out there in the market, so you won't be as competitive as, you know, as everybody is. You know, you'll get left out and say, hey, they won't notice you and things like this. But, you know, fortunately, you know, I've been very thankful. And God's blessed me with a lot of opportunities, a lot of chances. And I guess it just deals with maybe a lot of luck. A lot of luck comes into it. And you have to be in the right place at the right time and things like this. And, you know, I think with this role that I am debuting in with Sydney Opera, you know, I would never have imagined getting a job here because I was in Europe. I was singing in Europe and, you know, next thing you know, Terracini is up there and listening to singers. And next thing you know, he's like, hey, Arthur, would you like to come and join us at Sydney Opera? Like, what? Are you kidding me?
So you're getting the role, someone invited you or say, hey, come and join us, something like that.
Yeah, he was the one, that's why I say it was a memorable performance because Lyndon Terracini was in the audience when we were doing Così fan tutte in Theater Basel in Switzerland, I mean, of all the places. But he was there watching, so he approached me after the show and was like, hey, great job, you know, bravo. And, you know, how would you like to join us?
Say yes.
Exactly, exactly. So I was like, are you kidding me? Of course, yes. Yeah. You know, so that was really exciting and it was a really good turning point. And that was my entry into Australia, basically. And no, I didn't have to audition, which is, you know, I was very lucky. Yeah. I was in the right place in the right time. And so I guess, you know, God is good, you know.
Yeah.
Very thankful for that.
Talking about your role as Rodolfo, tell us a bit about the show La Boheme.
Oh, La Boheme is basically pretty much one of the two favorite operas that I fell in love with this opera because, you know, it is a Verismo opera, meaning Verismo is, it deals with real life. You know, you see operas out there with, you know, with, like, say, an Aida or a very grandeur, like big sets and things like this. But this opera deals with just regular people, and people are, you know, just living the bohemian life. This show is set in, I think, 1920s or something like this. 20s and 30s, yeah. So it's one of my favorite because it just deals with really, I mean, like, you know, like I can connect to it because we were really poor when I was young in the Philippines. So I feel that, you know, you just go day by day and just, you know, you go hand to mouth, basically. And this is sort of like Bohem. This is a story. But at the same time, within that, there's this love story between Rodolfo and Mimi. And that kind of blossoms, you know. Rodolfo is sort of like this simpleton guy, and he's a poet. He's very young with all the other groups, the other guys in his group and his friends. He sort of just, you know, everything's first time, and he falls in love with Mimi, and for the first time, and then, you know, I don't want to give it up. But yeah. We give it up, but
people should watch.
You should watch the end of it till the end, which is one. It's really gut wrenching, a very emotional opera, and you know, it takes a lot of energy from me because you really have to be real, and you have to, because when you act it, and then you think that you're acting already, and it'll lose it. You'll lose the audience. You just have to have that. This is one of the challenges in this opera. You know, the role of Rodolfo, if you wanted to know, is you know, he's a very sensitive guy. He comes up with words and things like this, but, you know, his poetry is really not best-selling. You know, he's just like a, you know, just like a regular poet trying to struggle and writing, you know, whatever poetry that he wants. And but anyway, it's I love it because of the fact that it is Verismo in its essence. It just crosses hairs parallel to real life, and up to now, people can actually connect to it, and it's one of the rarest operas that normal people would connect. And it's not about, you know, the stature of people and how rich they are, and you know, so, but this celebrates humanity at its core and at its, you know, emotional journey, basically.
Rodolfo here is a poet, but are we gonna hear lots of singing from him?
Oh yeah. From the first act until the last act, it's four acts of just a lot of singing, you know. But the other guys have a lot of singing too. But me and Rodolfo basically does a lot of singing because the story kind of revolves around them, in a way, and their love story and how she dies. But the other guys that are involved: Marcello, his best friend, Shonad, and Colline, and all of those guys that are in my group of friends. You know, we've been together for a long time, and you know, just a bunch of guys that are just, you know, like getting by every day with their stuff, and just, you know, just a regular group of friends. And then, you know, all of a sudden Mimi comes along and Musetta, you know, and he knows, you know, Marcello is having, that's his girlfriend, Musetta, but we all know Musetta already. But Mimi comes into the picture. She's kind of like this new
girl
in town, and she shows up in your door, and it's like, oh, hey, there's a girl. Ooh, okay. Then he falls in love, and it kind of just basically turns the whole story from that point on. You know, these guys are just living a regular life.
Yeah.
This girl comes in, oh, they fall
People
in love.
You should watch that.
Exactly. Yeah. That love story is sort of like a Romeo and Juliet in the Verismo age.
Mm. You have performed in Europe, in Asia, in the US, now in Australia. But have you performed in the Philippines?
Yes, I have, quite a few times. I debuted in 2010. We did a recital at the old, now, I mean, I think it's taken over by SMDC. You know, they bought the whole place. There's a hall. It's Film Life Theater.
Oh, okay.
Film Life Theater is the only acoustic theater in Manila. But they tore it down. We don't really have sad. But recently, you know, I did that. And then since then, I've been kind of performing on and off. You know, when I come back for vacation, you know, I perform at Ayala Museum at the Ayala Mall.
Yeah.
In Makati. A few concerts and things like this, just to have a little treat, you know, with some music and introduce different kinds of music in Manila and introduce people into the art of singing and the art of music, you know. Just recently I've introduced Liederabend, which are, you know, German song cycles, and I just recently did Die Schöne Müllerin. It's a song cycle of 21 songs for like an hour,
yeah,
no stopping. So I just recently did that, and then I also help out with young artists there. I try to teach and coach and do workshops and master classes, give them the platform to, you know, to exercise their talents. And I really believe in them because in the Philippines, there's not a lot of opera singers and there's not a lot of opportunities around them. So we try to see if we can get them to that level where, okay, you can be as competitive as you can be. So that's part of why I came back. And the other part is me being married to a wonderful woman in the Philippines. Wow. So, yeah, that's why I moved back to Manila I'm basing myself there. I have a 3-year-old son and another one coming. Just found out a week ago, so we're very excited about that.
Blessing.
Yeah, totally blessing. But yeah, to your original question, my recent performance was an opera gala, and at the new theater, Maybank was building. They have a new theater that they built in BGC.
BGC, yeah.
BGC, and it's a new theater. I opened it up, and we had an inaugural concert featuring, I think, about 10 to 12 young artists. So I featured them in a concert, and you know, we had a good show. I was so happy for them, and they were able to perform. And, you know, we coached and do workshops with them. And, hopefully the people liked it and certainly loved it.
Yeah. Being around the world, you also have received awards. I read, including the George London Award in 2009. Are there any other awards that you can name?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Belvedere competition in Vienna. That was the one who opened the doors for me, actually. That competition was the one that kind of launched an international career for me. And that was after that competition, 2007, that's when I debuted in Teatro alla Scala in Milano. So that was not bad at all,
yeah,
to debut, like, oh, in Teatro alla Scala, you know, after doing a competition. So that was the one that opened me up into the international circuit, which is, you know, in Milan, Italy. And that was my very, very first European debut. So that's one of those things. And, you know, and then the other awards that I've had in when I was still in America, you know, doing competitions and things like this. And some, I think I got one in California, I got one in New York. But I don't know, I forgot now.
Too many to mention.
No, not too many. I just kind of forgot. It was too long ago when I was still a student and all of that stuff. So
yeah. After La Boheme, which is showing until March 24th, what's next for you?
Actually, I'm going to be in Melbourne. I'm doing the 4 shows of King Roger. I don't know if you've seen King Roger here, but I'm doing the 4.
You didn't do the Sydney one?
No. I'm going to do the Melbourne one, which is part of the deed we have. So, you know, I said I need more time to learn it because it's Polish. It's hard language. So I had to learn and have to. Actually, at first, when I bought the music, and it was like one in Polish and one in German. There's no English translation, so I have to make up my own translation and I have to make up my own IPA.
You study the script?
Yeah.
And you translate it?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. I have to translate, and then you have to. There's a thing called IPA, International Phonetic Alphabet, that you use to be able to pronounce some things.
Yeah.
But in Polish, it's a different kind of IPA, sort of like Czech or something Balkan or
also
something.
The
like.
Accent will be hard.
Oh, yeah. It's all consonants, a lot of consonants, you know, and unlike Italian or, well, English has a lot of consonants, but Italian or Spanish, unlike that, there's a lot of vowels. Polish is quite hard. So I'll be here until the end of May. So I finished the show here in Boheme until March 24th, and then I fly back to Manila the whole month of April to study.
Yeah.
And finalize that, and then I go back in Melbourne to perform that, and then after that, I go to Vienna, and then from Vienna I go to Munich, and from Munich I go to Tel Aviv, and then Tel Aviv ends like mid-December.
Yeah,
that's
so
the
it's
only
a full-on year for you.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
It's a good high because it's it keeps you working, and you know, you gotta thank God for work, and you know, and especially in this business, it's a very, very tough business nowadays, especially in classical music.
I actually met one of your students in the Philippines,
oh, yeah.
But yeah, who is Neil Arvin Cruz.
Yes.
What do you think about the potential of Filipinos in opera singing?
Well, that's a very good question. We have so much talent. I've heard so many singers. I mean, Arvin is just one of them. He's so talented. He's got amazing big tenor sound. And we have so many of them, you know. But the thing is, they don't have the avenues. And they have the universities there and things like this, but there's no way to exercise their talents and use a platform. You know, you need that. You need an opera house. You need a venue, you know, in Manila to be able for them to grow as artists. But we don't have that, you know. A lot of arts foundations there, but the thing is they're all kind of one separate entity after another, so they don't really come together. So that's the problem.
I don't think there's focus on opera singing.
Well, in the Philippines, as you know, it's all about pop. Nowadays, K-pop.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not knocking K-pop. You know, K-pop is cool. But there are more substantial singing into classical music because you actually involve your whole body and your artistry. And being in an opera, you have to be able to sing. You have to be able to act. You have to be able to do some dancing, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's an overall package, and it's live theater. You know, you don't record anything. You know, there's something great about watching a live show. You know, anything can happen. That's the exciting part. But, you know, when you watch or listen to pop songs, and they're all recorded, you know, we might as well stay at home and register at Spotify and listen to the whole thing and, you know, and watch MTV. And when they have, like, live concerts, they follow them and they spend, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 pesos just to see, you know, these international artists. But when classical singers, like these young kids, really talented, who can sing, really, Filipinos have a lot of really great singers, but they can sing and, you know, but there's no one supporting them, you know, because it's not something that they patronize. There's something that they appreciate. So we try to do a lot of outreach in Manila, and then it's part of reasons why I wanted to move back there.
Do you see yourself in the long run to eventually help have opera singing, opera music in the Philippines?
Definitely. That's part of my mission. I think it's things that I want to do, things that I've done, you know, that gone around and experienced amazing things. I've sung in different places, amazing places. But one thing that I, you know, recently for me, I realized that, you know, who can help?
Yeah.
No one seems to want to help, you know, so someone has to do it. And, you know, it's one of those things that I said, okay, well, these kids, they're so talented, but there's nowhere to go. They go out of the country, and then, you know, maybe they start a career in Europe or start a career in America or whatever. But that's just too few and far between,
yeah.
You know, with these artists. But I mean, you'll see a lot of Korean singers singing here.
Yes.
A lot of Japanese singers. They're really top-notch. And I want that to happen to Manila, too. We want to turn out really good opera singers, really good classical singers, so that they will have a career internationally. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon, but we certainly would try, you know. I'm really wishing that we will have a national opera company in the Philippines. But, you know, it's not, you know, we don't have public funding for it.
Yeah.
You know, we could, with the best option we could have are trying
to... Foundation of Arthur Espiritu.
Yeah. that's a good idea. But I mean, I don't want it like that. You know, if I want to help out, I don't want to, you know, publicize this all over the place. I just want to help as simple as I can, you know, the simple ways that I could, and, you know, and maybe teach them or whatever. And, you know, some of them really just don't have any money to do it. I just, you know, just go and teach them for free, whatever, you know, because they're so talented, you know, nakapanghinayang, you know, you just got to give them the chance to really get that first step. And I feel that I have had more opportunities than them because I was very lucky. I had the opportunity to study abroad and to get the culture. But actually, I was surprised in Manila, we do have culture. We have a lot of patrons there that watch opera. They watch classical singing. They love it. But, you know, as everything else here and around the world, the audience is getting older.
And mostly the opera productions are from overseas, not from the Philippines itself.
Well, these are musicals, like, you know, like Cats or a really famous musical that comes from outside the country. And, you know, they usually hold it at CCP, you know, the old Imelda Marcos building. But if it is a local production, they market things about 2 months ahead, 3 months ahead. So it doesn't really go, not enough time to market it, and so the turnout's pretty low. And, you know, if you get on television in the Philippines, you have to pay at least 100,000 pesos for a spot. That's so, I mean, even if you have a very good show, you have to spend money to get on television to basically, you know. So I wish that they would not charge anything so that we could just, you know, like do shameless plugs all over the place and people would know about it. You know, I wish that they would have that in their hearts to say, okay, we need to, you know, ipahayag natin. We have to promote it all over the Philippines because we don't have it. So the best thing we could do is to go school by school by school and educate the kids this way. And that's the only way we could do it because we have, you know, our audience is getting old and we have to, you know, find ways.
Yeah,
to find ways to attract the youth and to get them to like this centuries-old art. And, you know, I mean, we're still doing it, you know. They're still doing operas all over the place. It's still alive, so vibrant. And, yeah, it's something that people there needs to know about. Yeah.
To end, are we able to get a sample of your voice? Can we hear maybe a Tagalog music, a Tagalog song?
Oh, wow. Let me see.
Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
All right, so what am I going to sing? I guess it's Sharon Cuneta, you know. Sana'y wala nang wakas. Ah, yeah, from here. Ang mahalaga ngayon ay pag-asa. Wala nang pag-ibig. Saksing buong daigdig. Kung di malimot ng tadhana. That's it.
Thank you.
Oi, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Kayo ay nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Mapapakinggan ng live ang buong programa araw-araw sa inyong radio at sa on-demand sa pamagitan ng website at sa SBS Radio mobile app. Magtungo sa sbs.com.au/Filipino.